broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Welcome to March the 6th, 2020. And we want to let you know today about Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. If you are having some electrical issues, or if you have air conditioning or heat-related issues, heat, I think, you know, you might need that once or twice more. I'm not sure for the next several months, but air conditioning, it is getting close to crunch time, and so you want to make sure that you are in the proper place for that to be able to be functioning according to your thermal desires. That would be very, very important. And so if the folks at Wyrick Air can help you out, whether it's electrical or with your air conditioning system, 321-632-9538. They've been in Brevard County a long, long time. They do great work, and they go anywhere in the county from beachside to the western boundaries, from the southern tip of the county on up to the Mims and Scottmore area. And so if they can help you out, give them a call, 321-632-9538. Here's what I found after knowing them for a few years. If you've got a problem, somebody else might have a problem at a similar time frame. So if you just think you might be inching up on a problem, call them before, you know, the system gets really stressed under the load of heat, and see if they can't get you fixed up and running efficiently. And, you know, if your system is, the traditional system with an outside cooling unit and an air handler on the inside, they can help you out with that. They also know about the micro split systems. They know about the package unit systems. They can deal with just about any type of system. And if it's really, really old, they might even be able to tell you that, you know, replacing your system can save you money on your electric bill. And I will tell you what, that's huge. You might look at some system and say, you know what, this system saves me $20 over that other system, but that $20 system might not be nearly as efficient as the newer one or as the other system, and it will cost you big bucks on your electric bill. And I hate big electric bills. Oh, I just don't like big electric bills. So we want to invite you out to church at Merritt Assembly of God this Sunday. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 12 today. We're going to be talking about, the provision that God delivered to the people, and they just didn't do anything with it. We started talking about that yesterday, and we're going to be celebrating with our congregation on Sunday night what all God has done. But in 2 Kings chapter 12 here, one of the things that they needed was they needed laborers. They needed stonemasons, and they needed carpenters, and they needed people who could cut stone and buy timber and do all of the work that needed to be done. They needed that. And I tell people, you know, because a lot of times people think that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is just for ministry inside the church. But I tell people, if you look in the Old Testament, some of the first people that are mentioned as being filled with the Holy Spirit were people who the Spirit enabled to be successful with their hands, the skill set of their hands. And so if you're a mechanic, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to make you a Spirit-filled mechanic. He wants to help you to be the best mechanic that you can be. If you're a carpenter, if you are a roofer, if you're in concrete work, you know, God can make you successful at whatever. If you're in finance, who better to help you to be successful in the area of finance or administration, government? Man, I am convinced that we need to pray for our government officials, because if anybody understands how unruly people can be, how what a challenge it can be to govern in righteousness, it's God. It's God. People do a whole lot of complaining, and they don't have a lot of solutions to offer. It just seems to be something that people specialize in. Let's get to 2 Kings chapter 12. So if you're planning on visiting, we will be there Sunday morning. We have our annual business meeting on Sunday night, and we will be celebrating God's faithfulness. So let's pick up reading in verse number 6 today. It says, "Now it was so by the 23rd year of King Jehoash that the priests had not repaired the damages of the temple. So King Jehoash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said to them, 'Why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Now therefore do not take money from your constituency, but deliver it for repairing the damages of the temple.' And the priests agreed that they would neither receive more money from the people nor repair the damages of the temple. Then Jehoiada the priest took a chest, bored a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar on the right side, as one comes into the house of the Lord, and the priests who kept the door put there all the money brought into the house of the Lord. So it was, whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up and put it in bags and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord, to masons and stonecutters, and for buying timbers and hewn stone to repair the damage of the house of the Lord, and for all that was paid out to repair the temple. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sprinkling, bowls, trumpets, any articles of gold or articles of silver from the money brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully." So yesterday we had ended, so why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? There's such a thing as called dereliction of duty, or where people are negligent in doing what they are supposed to be doing. And that is never a good thing. So I want to ask you today, what is it that God has entrusted into your hands, and are you utilizing that? Because here is the thing. If you can see it in this passage here. If you do not do what God has made provision for, He will raise up someone else who will do what you were supposed to be doing. And so whenever I'm ministering to a group of people, I will tell them this: if you do not step up to do what God has called you to do, He's going to bring in someone else who will do it. And you might not like the way that they do it. And then you're going to complain. And really, when it all boils down, it comes right back to the fact that many times we aren't willing to do the things that we're supposed to be doing. Can I tell you that the good news of Jesus Christ has been committed into the hands of the saints once and for all? We keep praying for an evangelist to come in and do the work of the ministry. We keep praying for angelic beings to speak to other people in dreams around the globe. But in reality, the work of the ministry has been put into the hands of the local church, and everybody has a part to play. Everyone is supposed to be involved. They say that roughly anywhere from 10 to 20% of any size congregation, that is the number of people who are actively involved in doing the work of the ministry. Now, I tell you what that means. That means that 10 to 20% is working excessively hard. They're doing what they're called to do as well as what they're not called to do. Someone else was called to do it, but somebody had to do it, and so they stepped up and did it. But there's a price that is paid when that takes place. There is less excellence, there is less efficiency, and there's less blessing. If we step up and say, you know what, God, I believe you've called me to do this. When we step up and do that, God's going to bless us for our act of obedience. So I remember when I first got notified that there was a need for Sunday school teachers. I was in high school, and we had a large church for that time. It's not a large church now, but, you know, because churches run into the tens of thousands. Our church ran about 1,500, I think, back in the day. And it might not have been quite that large at this point in time, but I was in high school. They said they needed Sunday school teachers, so I volunteered to be a Sunday school teacher. And, you know, the pastor watched me, and we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through this passage. The pastor didn't say a word to me other than, okay, thank you. And what I didn't realize was that he was watching to see if my interest was a passing fancy or if I really was interested in doing that. So I ended up teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys. By the way, in case you didn't know it, back in the 1970s, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys was the most challenging class to teach. I think that in the 2020s, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys is probably the most challenging to teach. Later on, I would go on and teach in a Christian school for a while, and I'm just now thinking of this right now, and guess what grades they gave me to teach? 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. And it was a class that nobody really wanted, but I just wanted to say yes to God. I said yes to God, and so when I said yes to that, then he opened the door and said, you know what, I want you to say yes to this. I ended up saying yes to a missions trip. I said yes to preaching in youth group. I said yes to going to Bible college. I said yes to nursing home ministry at one point in time. I said yes to youth ministry. I said yes to being an associate pastor. I said yes when it came time to say yes to being a pastor. And then I said yes to coming on the radio. We need to quit the procrastinating. And I was an expert procrastinator. I had mad procrastinating skills. Even in high school, you know, I wasn't one of those people that would do the homework and not turn it in. I was one of the people that said, well, I'll do the homework some other time. I still made an A in the class, but my teacher wasn't impressed when I told her I had to stay up all night to do probably a month's worth of homework in her class, and she was really impressed until she found out that I was turning in everything late. And then she recognized that it was not a strength, it was not something to be commended, it was actually something to be corrected. That's what happened here. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes and he says, I have made provision for you, and that provision has purpose, but you're not fulfilling that purpose, we need a corrective plan of action. And so for the house of the Lord to be repaired, there not only needed to be provisions that were delivered, that had been taken care of, but they needed people who had the skills to be able to do those sorts of things, and that they would see the task accomplished. So the king says, don't take any more money from your constituency, but deliver it for the repairing the damages to the temple. And the priest agreed that they would neither receive more money from the people nor repair the damages of the temple. I will tell you this, that probably the people who were best prepared to repair the temple were the carpenters and the builders and the stonemasons and the stone cutters and the people who bought materials and the people who did the work. they probably had the better skill set. They were more focused. They only had the one thing to do. What if I were to ask you, what do you do well? The priest had a large responsibility. They were responsible for opening the temple. They were responsible for making the sacrifices. And I'm sure that there was quite an extensive number of priests, and some of them should have been doing the work. But priests retired at a very early age. Biblically, I think it was age 50. They were done. They didn't fulfill that task anymore, and so they may not have been the best people to be doing roof repair and floor repair and repairing broken stones and all of that sort of stuff. They may have been badly positioned. If you are serving and you feel like you're in the wrong position, I want to encourage you, don't give up on serving. Just say, Pastor, is there someplace else that I could serve? I don't feel like this is exactly where God wants me to serve in this particular ministry. I'm very honest here. I'm just very honest. I'm going to be honest with you here today. There was a couple of times in our tenure at Merit Assembly of God. One of them, I took over a ministry because I was tired of seeing young people get hurt. I had a number of youth leaders that came and they went. They averaged about a year to a year and a half, some of them shorter, some of them longer. But that was about it, about a year to a year and a half. And my young people got jaded because they would get attached to these people, and boom, they would pick up and they would go away. And my people, young people, would be devastated to the point that when a new person came in who was very gifted, who stayed about a year or a year and a half, and then he left, the young people came to me and they said, well, they're probably going to leave too. We're not even going to bother getting to know them. That was what my young, and I realized that the short transitions that were happening were damaging my young people. And so I said, well, you know what? I know this. I'm not going to hurt them. I'm not going to uproot. They know me. I mean, even today, if I see some of the kids from our church and they happen to be walking down the street of our neighborhood, I'll stop what I'm doing. I'll go out there and I'll just joke around and have a great time with them. I want them to know I'm not just their parents' pastor, I'm their pastor. And so I build a relationship with people so that I won't damage them by, people who just pack up and move away. But then after a while, there came a time where God spoke to me and he said, it is true. You aren't damaging them, but are you helping them? You see, they needed someone's voice speaking into their life other than my voice. And so at that point in time, we set about to restructure in a way that would benefit. And so the person that does our youth ministry right now is my daughter. She's got a pretty good size following on Facebook of just the announcements, because she does announcements completely different than I do announcements. And there are people who don't come to our church. I'm not sure that some of them go to any church, but that they watch her announcements because they're just funny. And so she is setting about doing ministry with these young people so that they will thrive in their relationship with God. So the king says, we're going to relieve you of the responsibility of doing the repairs, but the temple is going to be repaired. If you haven't done something for 20 some years, it's time to get it done. It's time to get it done. I remember when I went off to my first ministry assignment, there was a man from our church, a very successful businessman, and he came up to me and he says, I want you to know I'm so proud of you and I commend you, because I too, as a young man, was called into ministry, but instead of going into ministry, I went into business. And even though I've been very successful, I've always missed the privilege of serving. And I was like, I never would have guessed that this guy was living with a regret of something that he hadn't done for 20 some years. I will tell you, if there's something that you have chronically neglected, let's get that taken care of. You know, I've said on this radio program a number of times, you know, when I told God back in my 20s and 30s, I said, God, I don't want to be an angry, cranky old person. And his response was, don't be an angry, cranky, middle-aged person. Don't be an angry, cranky, young person. And so if there's something that you've neglected, don't procrastinate another day. Let's get to work on doing what needs to be done. So, the priest agreed, we're not going to take any more money and we're not going to do the repairs. And so they created an alternative solution. They put a container, they bored a hole in its lid, and they set it beside the altar, and people, they would put in their financial donations. And whenever they saw that there was a large sum of money in there, there would be a king, scribe, and the high priest. They would come, they would take the money, they would count it, and then they would give the money to the people who were doing the work, and the people who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. Okay? So there were people who understood the finances that came in. There were people who were doing the work, and there was people who had the oversight to make sure that the job was getting done right. And so everybody got, you know, what they were entitled to. The carpenters got paid, the builders got paid, the masons and the stone cutters, and there was money for buying the supplies and to do the repair. And all of that was paid for out of the funds that had come in to repair the temple. In verse number 14, it says this, but they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Can I tell you that right there is my goal for financial stewardship? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't give an account. So Sunday night when we share the financial report with our congregation, which won't come as a shock to them, because every week we have this is what was budgeted, this is what came in, this is what came in general fund, this is what came in with missions. We have that for them to see on a regular basis. Plus, they also get the privilege of seeing things that are improved. So last year there was new floor tile. There were things that were painted that had never, or you know, that needed painting. There was a room that was the ugliest room that we had, and now it is not the ugliest room that we have. It was noticeable. People come in and they feel good about being in that facility. So we give an account of that, because we want to be above and beyond reproach financially. So when we present the financial report, it'll tell them how much came in for missions, how much went out for missions. Here's a little sneak preview. There's more that goes out to missions than what comes into missions. That's because as a board, we said we want to give everything that comes in designated for missions to missions, but we also want to tithe out of the general fund. And so we end up giving roughly about 27% of our incomes to local, national, and international missions. Everything that comes in, everything is accounted for. And so our annual business meeting doesn't last very long because we've given that information out to the members in advance, and we have said if you have any questions, you can come and ask us about it, and we'll be happy to explain it to you. And so we do that. But our goal is to deal with it in such a faithful manner that the work gets done and people know that we are being a good steward of God's money. I tell our congregation that if you look at tithing in the Old Testament, the tithe came into the storehouse. It was there for the priest. And then the priest were then supposed to take 10% of it, and they were supposed to go and take it and put it on an altar. They were supposed to light it on fire, and poof, there it went. It was gone. It was offered as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And one of the concepts of giving to the Lord, especially in the Old Testament, was that it was given irrevocably over to the Lord. And so when I give a gift to God, I'm giving it no strings attached, no quid pro quo. I'm giving it because I love him, and I want him to know I'm going to be faithful with whatever you entrust to me. I pray that you will develop such a reputation as these men did that said, you know what, God, everything you've entrusted to me, I've been faithful with. If anybody wants an accounting, I can give an accounting, but I want to act in such a faithful manner they know that whatever you've provided for me, I put it to good use. God bless you. You have a great weekend. We'd love to see you this weekend. If not, we'll be back here Monday on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Jesus.